think one of the most common questions that comes up in our mind is what's the lesson? And all the different things that we're going through, what is the lesson that we're trying to learn? And this lesson deals specifically with what the lesson is in every single situation that you go through, so that we'll know what the lesson is that we're trying to learn in that situation. And if we get the lesson, then there's no need to keep having that situation repeat itself over and over again. One of the surefire ways you know you're not getting the lesson is that if it keeps showing up over and over and over again. It's one of those real obvious things that most people overlook, that if you've really gotten it, there's no need for you to keep going through it over and over and over again. But I know sometimes I think it, and I've met many people who think they really know what the lesson is, but they're still dealing with the same issues over and over and over again. So it's on page 367 in the workbook. It's lesson 193. And the name of that lesson is "All Things Are Lessons God Would Have Me Learn." And it starts out by saying, God does not know of learning. But even God's will extends to what God doesn't understand, and that God wills the happiness that you inherited of God be undisturbed, eternal, forever gaining scope, eternally expanding in the joy of full creation, and eternally open and wholly limitless in God. I said again. Like the course says, this is so cool, my mind wants to block it out. It says that God wants your happiness, your creator wants your happiness to be undisturbed, eternal, and forever gaining scope, eternally expanding in the joy of full creation. Wants your happiness to be eternally open and totally unlimited. Our happiness is supposed to be totally unlimited, eternally expanding, forever gaining, undisturbed, and eternal.
That definitely means impossible.
Thank you.
This world, it doesn't seem possible. And all my life, you know, I've heard if it sounds too good to be true, it is.
Okay. So what you're doing by saying that is you're basically identifying all the beliefs in your mind that keep you from experiencing it. Okay? Because that's what happened. When you hear the truth, it brings up everything in your mind that's the opposite. And then bringing up everything in your mind that's the opposite, you get a chance to see the thought that is creating the unhappiness. You see what I mean? It's my belief that is impossible. I could never have it in this world. And then you see it that way, where it looks like being happy eternally in this world is impossible. So you're actually getting a perfect example of how powerful your mind is. Because right now, you're seeing the world that reflects the idea that you just shared. And so what we're learning is that even though we might be seeing that, that has nothing to do with what the universe wills for us. We need to really get clear that just because you don't feel happy doesn't mean God doesn't will you unlimited happiness.
You know, I have known, I mean, this is an idea that I've been encountering over and over and over for like 30, 40, 30 years.
Yeah.
And I don't want to think that it's me that's been, you know, it's my mind that's been keeping this from being real. Because what sane person would do that?
Thank you. That's the other thing that begins to happen. That's the other, that realization that you're making right now is the other realization the person begins to make when they're first waking up. So you're right on track. Good. I'm happy for you. Yeah. Yeah. I almost wonder about the sanity of people who don't ask the question you just asked. You know, that's, mine works the other way. It's like to me, you have to be insane not to ask, why am I not experiencing that? And you just identified that too. Most people would agree with you, and most people would say their mind certainly is not creating that. Okay, so we are living in a world that is the reflection of the part of the mind that doesn't believe it creates its reality. we are literally living in the world that people live in who don't believe they're powerful and don't believe they're connected to God and don't believe that they're loving. We are actually seeing what those thoughts present. So you're absolutely right. You're right on time. So he says, that is God's will. And thus God's will provides the means to guarantee that it's done. Okay, so if it's God's will for you to be happy, whether you want to be happy or not, then the course says, then God also provides a way to guarantee that you're ultimately going to be constantly happy. So your Creator is going to show you that you are wrong. Are you willing? Are you willing?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Okay, that's the first paragraph. Then it says, God sees no contradictions, yet His Son, we believe we see contradictions, right? So we have the need of one who can correct our erring sight. So you told me a minute ago that you couldn't see how you created that, so that was an error, because I don't see how I'm doing it. That's an error. So I need somebody who can correct my erring sight. Agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then it says, in other words, I need something to give me the vision that will lead me back to where my perception ceases. So I need something to lead me back to where my way of seeing things that is not bringing me constant happiness ends. I need a way to be corrected so that my way of seeing things that does not bring me peace ends. Agree? He says, now this is another great Course in Miracles statement. God does not perceive at all. God does not perceive at all. Because perception is interpretation, and interpretation is judgment. So why would an all-knowing being need to judge? Why would an all-knowing being need to evaluate? Because you're evaluating to make a choice. But if you're an all-knowing being, you don't need to evaluate. So God doesn't perceive. God is not interpreting. God is not judging. Of course, as God knows, we're the ones that are perceiving. We're the ones that are interpreting. We're the ones that are judging. We're the ones that's trying to figure everything out. Of course, as God ain't. So he says, yet God is going to give who gives the means by which perception is made true and beautiful enough to let this light of heaven shine upon it. So, you're going to be given a means by which your way of seeing things is going to be made so true and so beautiful that the truth shines on it. You're going to be given a way of seeing things that's so true and so beautiful that even the knowledge of God can shine on it.
Now?
Are you doing it right? Yeah, if you get this lesson, you got it.
Okay.
Then it says, it is He, the Holy Spirit, the higher self, our voice for God, the part of us that's still in touch with God. The Course says every one of us got a part of us that's still in touch with the Creator, right? He says that part of us is going to answer what we keep contradicting. That part of us that's still in touch with God is going to keep our sense of being sinless safe, even while we're having interpretations that tell us we're guilty. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
That was paragraph two. That's powerful that we went through those two paragraphs. Nothing makes students go more unconscious in A Course in Miracles than when it talks about God.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, the most unconscious sections in the book are the sections where the book talks about God. Watch your mind, and watch when it starts to talk about God this and God that, or when it starts to talk about eternal this, eternal that, happiness completely, you watch the mind and just glaze right on over. and just no longer, you know, no longer in the course class. Now I'm into what I'm going to be doing this evening. There's something about, I've done this for 25 years, and I've noticed it over and over again. The minute the loving thoughts start coming through, that's when the most unconsciousness happens in the class.
Yeah.
And that, it's not true of everybody, but it's certainly been true of the vast majority of people that I've seen. Because there's nothing harder to hear than how loving you are and how wonderful you are. That's the hardest thing to hear for most people. Because we've been taught that our very beauty lies in being humble and self-effacing and never acknowledging how cool we are. It's like the more pitiful we say we are, that's the more humble we are. So when someone tells me that I'm the greatest thing they've ever known, or they love me more than anything they've ever seen, or I'm the most beautiful person they've ever been around, it brings up everything in me that thinks differently from that. You tell me I'm innocent, I'm totally innocent, I'm totally sinless, I have never sinned, and I can just hear it and hear and see the sins popping up in my mind. But remember when you did that, and remember when you did that, and remember when you did that, and certainly you couldn't be innocent about that. You see what I mean? Hey, brother.
Mm-hmm. What my mind does when you say things mm-hmm. about how wonderful and loving and so on, it says, well, yeah, you know, I am, but the rest of the world, you know, I can start listing the people, like starting with Carl Rove, the people who aren't wonderful and loving and so on. But if I really believe, and I claim to really know and believe and understand.
Would you mind cutting that off from me? That's just irritating me. More than cooling anything off. Yeah.
That everything out there is simply a projection of myself. So if I really do believe and understand and claim to follow that everything I see is just a projection of myself, I'm not saying that all those people out there are worthless, but I may be wonderful that they're not, and I may be loving but the world's not loving, then what I'm saying is I'm not loving. Right?
Right.
Because I'm being self-righteous about it.
Right. And so what you're doing is getting revealed again the thoughts in your mind that create those people that you think are not cool. And that's what and so you're learning the secret. Watch it. I'm serious. You're learning the secret. Because that was the decision I had to make in the class. It was like, okay, Earl, either you're going to just get hardcore with what the Course in Miracles says, or and find out who really wants to get down. Or you can just keep on touching on the Course lightly. You know, and I'm at a point in my own spiritual development that I just can't keep touching on this lightly because I'm afraid of being offended or disoriented, or I have to feel good every second. So Spirit was telling me, you know, Earl, the next level of your teaching and learning, the next level of the people that come into your experience are going to be people who are willing to go through the discomfort and disorientation necessary to really go to another level of consciousness, rather than people who just need to feel good all the time. And those are two different students. You know, it's always easier to keep a feel good group going. It's really tough to keep a group going with people who really want to confront and really take a good hard look at what's going on within themselves. And that's why I want to acknowledge you for hanging around the way you're doing right now, because it is hard sometimes to hear that thought, what I'm experiencing out there, is a reflection of my thought. You're doggone right, that's not easy to hear at first. But then one day you begin to see the power of that statement, which means it could free you. Wait a minute. Hold it. Wait a minute. Then that means if I was to give myself a different set of thoughts, then that would take over, and then I'd start seeing the reflection of those thoughts. And that's what people miss. They're so busy fighting the idea that they're creators that they miss that means they could change whatever they're going through now. And that's what I want to hear over and over again. That God doesn't perceive, but God loves me so much, God is going to let the part of God that can heal my perception do its thing, so all of these perceptions that I have that make me sad can end. That's what we were just told. And so my mind needs to focus on that idea more than focusing on, well, how did I create the people that are crappy in the first place? And why did I create the people that are crappy in the first place? See, all the energy that I'm putting into that could be energy that I'm putting into, okay, now how do I learn how to hear the voice from God that's going to help me end the perception of lack that I see in my life? See, I'd much rather spend my time focusing on that now, when I used to be caught up in, how did that happen? Why did that happen? How did I do that to myself? And that's okay. And I can give you explanations from the book that I share how that happened. But the beauty of what we're hearing today is that we have a need to have our perception corrected, and we've been given a guide to correct our perception, and our job is to learn how to listen to our inner guide. And so this is why the class is here, for people who want to learn how to listen to their inner guide so they can get out of the situation that creates pain or fear for them. That's my focus now. I want to get out. Anybody else want out? I want the other perception. I don't want to defend my old point of view. I want to hear the other perception. So now we're going to get into the deep stuff. Next paragraph gets deep. Here we go. He says, okay, so we're going to be given a way of seeing things that will always keep our sense of being sinless always safe, because our sense of being sinless is where our safety lies. All pain, of course, comes from guilt. So what's the opposite of guilt?
Love.
What's the opposite of guilt? Innocence. What's the one thing you don't hear in this world a whole lot? That you're innocent. Do you hear you're guilty a lot? Do you hear you're sinful a lot? Yeah. So that means if guilt and sin are the primary ideas that we are hearing, then we must be looking at a world that the idea of guilt and sin must have made. So in other words, we are looking at the result of believing you're guilty and sinful. We're in a world that reflects that belief, that we're separate every day. The book is saying you don't have to go too far to see the result of thinking that you're guilty and separate and sinful. All you have to do is open your eyes, read the paper. You'll see the result of people thinking they're guilty, sinful, and separate. He says, the book says, it's the fearful world you see. And he says stuff like, and then how can you be a part of what you see as a sinful, guilty world and really think you're different? If you were truly different, wouldn't you be somewhere else?
We're all one.
We're not in a world that reflects that. See, that's what I'm saying. When we say we're all one and all that, it's like, that's true. But do you see it?
Trying to.
We all are trying to, but do you see it? And that's what he's saying. If you don't see it, you don't see it because of thoughts of guilt and fear and separation that's in your own mind. And I'm going to give you a teacher that will give you another way of looking at it so that you will let go of this erroneous perception of yourself as not being loving and not being whole and not being perfect. He said you need another way of looking at yourself that you can't give yourself, because you're the one that gave yourself the way you're looking at it that's not making you happy right now. So he said, why don't you finally friggin' resign as your own teacher? He said, what you will do if you're honest to look at the result of what you taught yourself. And I went, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. You don't say that to me out of no book. You know, I know why people can run from the hills with this doggone book. It's straight up. Bam. You know, bow. Yeah, bow, y'all. You know, I love it. That's what I love about it. Wake me up. I need electric shock therapy from God. I need it intense. I don't need it light. I need it.
You know what? It's always done in a loving way, though, and it's not accusatory.
No.
At all. It's
no.
It's different.
Isn't that beautiful? Just like he was saying today. He said, I might not see it the way you see it, but I'm going to give you a way of looking at it and let you see it the way I see it so that you can be happy. But you don't see it the way I see it. I don't have contradictions. I'm sorry. I don't see contradictions. I'm sorry. I don't evaluate and judge and interpret. And I don't know nothing about learning because I'm a creator. Let there be. I don't have to learn how to let it be. Let there be. I'm a creator. A creator doesn't learn. A creator creates. He said, a creator just extends. He doesn't make. You know, I went, whoa. No, I don't need to learn. God needs to go to college? I don't think so. And so in the book is saying, you made up learning. I said, what? He said, you made up learning so that you could educate yourself into the illusion of being separate from everything. You are learning to think you're separate. You've learned to think you're separate. I went, wow, you're right. From the moment I got here, everything was being labeled separate, taught I was separate. I'm supposed, you're right, I have learned to be separate. Yeah, he says, now, take it to the next step, which is, learning is perception. So what you perceive is what you've learned. Then he got to give an example. He said, when you look at this cell phone, are you really looking at the cell phone, or are you really looking at your past experiences with something that looks like this? How else would you know anything about it if it wasn't what you've already learned? And then he says, and suppose what you've learned is wrong. Like if you had to learn this was a donut and you were trying to eat it. And every time you tried to eat it, you've hurt your teeth and it tastes horrible. Yeah, it's not, yeah, because you're not using it for what its function is. And he says that's true about you. You're in pain because you're not using yourself for what you were meant to be used for. Your life is struggling because you aren't using yourself for what you were created for. You're going through all this stuff you're going through because you're not fulfilling your function. You're just trying to live up to some idealized programming that you were given when you got here to keep the illusion going. So you keep trying to do something that's not a reflection of who you really are and wonder why you're miserable all day. You're not being true to yourself at all. It's that simple. That's what's wrong with you. You're not being true to yourself. And my ego wants it so much more complicated than that, because when I hear stuff like that, I have to do something. But if it's complicated, I can spend the rest of my life trying to figure it out without changing at all.
And I have to learn something else, right?
And so he says, now he's going to take our learning skill, right? And he says, now I'm going to give you a new learning to use your learning skill on that you made up. And this new learning is going to free you from your old learning so that you can experience the love and the happiness that you deserve. But it's a new learning. But it's more in line with your nature, so it'll be easier for you to learn after a while, and you'll just naturally move toward it because it's easier than the stuff that you learn from the world. And at first, the Course seemed like he was asking me the impossible thoughts, and the world was what was saying the stuff that was easy to do. Now, for me, the world is what's absolutely asking me to do impossible things, and what the Course is asking me to do is easy. But I remember when it was just the opposite. Sometimes I'm appalled at how long I thought it was asking me to do something hard. It wasn't asking me to do anything hard. I just didn't love myself enough to have it so easy. Isn't that wonderful that your lessons come to you just as hard as you need them for you to do it? You know, if you need it complicated, Spirit will make it complicated. If you want it easy, it'll come easy. You're the one that's determining the level of the lesson. But he says if you can get in touch with the meaning of the lesson, then we can get past the lesson, which is what we're going to get to in this part. It says, these are the lessons God would have you learn. What is the lesson God would have me learn? Well, I need to learn how to keep my innocence safe. If my pain is coming from my guilt, then what I need more than anything is to learn how to keep my innocence safe. Okay, so he says, these are the lessons God would have you learn. God's will reflects them all, and God's will and the lessons reflect God's loving kindness to you whom he loves. Okay, so when you are learning a lesson that the Creator is sending you, this lesson is going to reflect loving kindness. Each lesson has a central thought, the same in all of the lessons. So every lesson you've ever had has a central thought. The form alone is changed. That means the appearance of your lesson seems to be changed with different circumstances and events, with different characters and different things that are obvious but not real. So I'll say it again. There's going to be one lesson that I'm going to learn, but that lesson is going to come to me in a whole lot of different circumstances, events, with different characters. I love how he calls us characters. Different characters and different themes. And he says it's going to look apparent. It's going to look so obvious to you, but it's not real. He says all of these lessons are going to have the same fundamental content. This is the content. Forgive, and you will see this differently. Every lesson that you've ever had or ever will have, the central theme is forgive, and you will see this differently. So the mind says, okay, it goes to the ego's definition of forgiveness, which is, you really did this to me, but I'm going to somehow try to overlook it. That's what the average person's idea is when they hear this, when they hear the word forgiveness. They think immediately they got to take something that they really think happened and act like it never did happen, or somehow make it okay that it happened. Anybody relate to that? So when you hear forgive, it doesn't exactly like turn me on. Because I don't want to forgive somebody that I think really hurt me. To tell the truth, I don't want to forgive somebody that I think really hurt me. I think it's kind of crazy to forgive somebody. Because then they're just going to do it again and you're just going to get it. What do you mean? That's like making you a wimp. Everybody just going to mess up. Of course I want to forgive somebody that's really hurt me. So the first thing I come up against is that I don't freaking want to forgive. And then, of course, I'm not talking about that. I don't. When I say forgive, I'm not talking about overlooking what somebody really did to you. You can't overlook what somebody really did to you. What I'm asking you to do, when I say forgiveness, I'm saying I want you to see this differently. That's why it says forgive, comma, and you will see this differently, because forgive and seeing it differently are the same thing. I have forgiven you if I'm seeing you differently. If I saw you as a person that was attacking, and then all of a sudden I saw you as a person that was in a lot of pain calling for help, I've forgiven you. Because I'm seeing you differently. Forgive, and you will see this differently. So if I got a problem with money, I need to see money differently. That's forgiving it. If I have a problem in relationships, then I need to see relationships differently. I need a new way of looking at it. You see, that's what the Course is saying. Whatever situation that is causing you pain, the central lesson in it is that you need to see this differently so you can get out of this pain. You need to see this differently so you can get out of this pain. But what I want to do is keep seeing it the way that I already see it without going through the pain that my way of seeing it causes me. I want you to teach me how to keep my mind exactly the way it is without experiencing the effects of my mind. That's what I'm really, that's what I'm coming to the class for. And until you tell me how I can stay just the way I am without the stuff I'm going through, I'm going to another class. Forgive means see this differently. Okay? He says, certain, now then he comes right, he knows exactly what we're going to think. In the very next line, he says, certain it is that all distress does not appear to be but unforgiveness. I know it doesn't look like this distress you're going through looks like it's being caused by your unwillingness to see it differently. I know it doesn't look like the way that person is treating you is being caused by your unwillingness to see it differently, which is forgiveness. You see what I'm saying? He says, I know that. Right in the book. I know it doesn't look like that. He says, yet that's the content underneath the form. So what? You don't see it that way. I'm so sorry. But still, that's what it is. It's an unwillingness to see it differently. If that's the cause, that's the lesson. The lesson is I need to forgive, which means I need to see this differently. Now, he says, it is this sameness which makes learning sure. It's the fact, if I'm dealing with the same lesson in every situation, I am guaranteed to learn it. I am guaranteed to get this. If it's going to come to me in every situation and every person and every theme in my life is somehow trying to get me to see it differently, you know what? Sooner or later, I'm going to see it differently because the lesson is coming to me. So he says, learning is going to be sure. Don't worry about it, boys and girls. You will get it. I went, okay, great. He says, because it's a lesson that's so simple that it can't be rejected in the end. No one can hide forever from a truth so very obvious. As a matter of fact, this truth that you need to forgive and see it differently is so obvious that this lesson appears in countless forms, and yet is so recognized so easily in all of the forms if one but wants to see the simple lesson. So I recognize the lesson in any form it comes when I want to. That's what the book is saying to us. Oh, you recognize it when you want to. But guess what? What? You're going to get it. How are you gonna, how am I going to get it? Well, because I'm going to keep sending the lesson to you in a zillion different ways. So sooner or later, you're going to go, I need to change my mind. That's why, you know, it's almost like the minute, if you want to catch your ego trying to trick you when you're studying the course, the minute your ego goes to anything outside your mind, you know it's trying to trick you again. Like you said, I want to accept my innocence, but I see these nasty people in the world. So you always know it's the ego, because the ego is going to always take you away from your own mind. And that's how you can always tell an ego thought. Because if my job is to truly see myself as innocent, if my job is to let the Holy Spirit start correcting my perception, if my job is to spend all day realizing that I'm just getting the same lesson all the time, which is I need to learn how to see it differently, then applying this to myself would become a full-time job, and it wouldn't have nothing to do with what my friends and relatives around me were doing. And then I would get the lesson really, really fast, because there would be no opposition. When you get other people involved, you're usually inviting a delay, because you'll probably get into some kind of debate or interaction where you're trying to prove the validity of what you think, and they're trying to prove the validity of what they think, and y'all going back and forth as to whose way of seeing it is right. So if you had silently applied the lesson to yourself without saying anything to anybody else, the lesson would be would happen right away, and then your perception would shift, and you would start drawing those new loving people into your reality. That's why God is quiet. That's why all conscious beings are quiet. You know, always, you kind of wonder why there are people that are more conscious than you, why they're not talking to you. Have you noticed that you seem to be the high one, and then everybody else is below you? I mean, to be honest, that's pretty the average person look at it. Like, I pretty much got it together, and other people always look at it more like I do. So it's almost like there's no one to like look up to and go, who knows more than me? And so what I noticed is that whoever does know more than me, they are very silent. That's the first thing I've noticed about the higher than me. And I've also noticed they don't interfere with me. I mean, all the dumb stuff I did, they didn't stop me. You ever notice that? If God is so intelligent, why don't you get stopped in a sense? I know you're always exceptions in ways we can see it. But what I realized is what this book was saying. Okay, if my job is to apply it to myself and learn how to listen to this truth for myself and see the lesson in all of my lessons, me just being willing to let my own vision be corrected would be my full-time job. I just wouldn't have time to worry about whether or not you're doing it. So my preoccupation with you doing it is my way of delaying my doing it. My preoccupation with getting somebody else to change is my way of avoiding my own personal need to change my mind. Because it's the height of ego to believe you are the one to correct everybody that's possible. Mm-hmm. According to the course, which is why it's not that popular.
So if I stop condemning myself and people in my family stop condemning me, is that how it's supposed to
work? Well, when
I cleared away the energy within myself.
I've seen it happen exactly that way. You clear it up in yourself, and then it clears up in the outer world. But here's another level that's really cool that I'm discovering now. You don't care.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay? You don't care. It's like loads better than the other levels. You know, it's like when you get to that point that you just, I don't care what people think about me. That's better than any of the levels that I went through before that I was trying to be Mr. Nice Guy that everybody liked. Because it was impossible. Because everyone would have their perception of me regardless of what it is I did. And they would make up their mind instantly whether they wanted to like me or not in the first place. So once people decide they want to like you, then you can't do no wrong. Anything you do, they're going to find a way to forgive it. When somebody decides they don't like you, anything you do is going to be something they're going to use to not like you with. Even if you're kind to them. What you trying to do? No, I can't trust you. You're just too kind. So they've already, like Cora says, we make the decision and then we allow our physical reality to back it up. The decision comes first. decision comes first. So when you get to that point where you no longer condemn yourself and your perception about yourself has changed, then if somebody is trying to condemn you, it wouldn't affect you because you know you're innocent and there's no reason for you to be condemned. So even if they were condemning you, it would bounce right off of you. You wouldn't even give it a moment's thought. You just think they were crazy. See the difference? Which is better than waiting for them to stop condemning you.
Because I'm still wanting them to change.
That, boom!
Changing myself. I'm still wanting them to change too.
Thank you.
Okay, I get it.
You get it? And as long as your solution is somebody else changing, you're still in your ego, no matter how justified you feel in having that desire.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. It's the easy way. I swear it's the easy way. I will bet everybody in here $1 million that I don't have a piece. Okay, that it is easier to change your mind than to change mine. I defy anybody in here to change my mind easier than they can change their own. You can't do it. I show you, you can't do it. Okay, I know people who tried a long time. You see what I mean? And people that I've tried, and they love me so much, they never acted the way I wanted them to. Because they did not want to convince me that my happiness depended on getting other people to change. And you ought to be thank God for people like that every day, because everybody that changes for you further convinces you that the way for you to be happy is to get other people to change, and they're not helping you at all. They're further convincing you that you need to change other people. With the person who doesn't let you script them, they're showing you, hey, baby, you want to have peace with me? You're going to have to change your mind about me. You're going to have to decide to like me as I am. You're going to have to decide to have peace with me just like I am. And then you'll see that your peace comes from within your own mind. And so you start doing that in more and more situations in your life, and you'll find out one day you're happy. And you're going to send me a gift because I was your worthy opponent. I did not let you control me. I wouldn't like the person who hated you, who made you think that you could change them so that you could be happy. And then when you didn't fulfill their script, they took that away from you. And they stopped treating you nice. And they stopped doing what you said. And they might even just put you down. You was freaked out because you thought you had so much power over them. See, who was crueler? The one who pretended you had power over them, or the one who says, no, you don't have power over me, but you have power? Of course, when you start saying things correctly, you'll be thanking the person that makes you angry. That's how you know your mind has changed. Because you know they're presenting you with the lesson that you need to learn again for you to get it so you can be free.
That
you're innocent. And that you're in control of your feelings and they're in control of their feelings. That your happiness doesn't rest on them acting out your script the way you want it to be. That they drive you within for your happiness, which is where it's really located. Then when you see it, he says, and when you see the happiness on the inside of you, then it becomes your outward vision. And then you see it in your world. That's how you see it in your world. You look in, he says, then you look out. Whew. I love it.
It's all this monitoring. No, 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 no. You know, it seems like that's what it's always doing. Like when he said about not judging people this week or getting into conflict about, you know, our thoughts and just let it be and you're not always right, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Don't try and change them.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just have to be quiet and I just listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to monitor that all, you know, this last week, like, you know, stop.
Great, that's wonderful.
So is that a change in seeing this differently?
You would have to be seeing it differently to get to the point you wanted to monitor yourself. See, the very monitoring yourself is a result of the fact that you start to see things differently. That's what's making you monitor yourself. So you are seeing things differently. Because he says we don't guard our thoughts carefully enough, that we let our mind wander too much. And that's why we experience so much pain. It's because we don't have any discipline with our thinking. We do just think anything, any kind of way, and never try to. He said that's what he tells us. He said, that's your problem. You don't know how to do that. You need help. And help is here. But you have to learn how to listen to your help. You know, it's like you stranded somewhere and they say, we're going to drop you a rope. The rope is 50 feet away. You have to go 50 feet to get to the rope to your right. Well, if they're going to rescue me, I got to follow the instructions of the rescuer. We are going, rescue me, God, and I ain't going to do a damn thing you say. Now, am I not going to do it? I'm going to try to blow a hole through every single thing you tell me to do, and I'm going to come up with every reason why what you're telling me to do is wrong and don't work. Please rescue me. That's us. Man, we're the funniest things in the world. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I'll leave this burning building, God, as soon as you tell me how the fire started. Instead of saying, I tell you what, get me out the burning building, then later on in the cool of the shade, you can tell me how the fire started. We opposite. We do it the opposite. We want all the explanations while we're still in the fire. And the book is saying, no, I can get you out the fire. And at your leisure, you can learn how it got started. But to do that, you're going to have to be willing to what? See this differently. No, you see your mama like that. And you've always seen your mama like that. Great. Are you enjoying the world that you are experiencing by seeing your mama like that? Are you enjoying your mama? You know? And it's like, you're right. You're right. My way of seeing that person isn't bringing me no kind of pride. And my ego says, well, get the person to change. Stupid. You know you can't change them. You already know that your human experience has shown you that you can't change them. Your human experience has shown you can't change nobody. That's not an abstract thought. Nothing about this book is abstract. Everything it says is obvious. It's so obvious it makes me sick. I could tell you I've changed somebody, but if I would be honest with myself, there's never been a person I've changed. Have you ever changed anybody? Really? Even if they changed, and even if they attributed the change to you, they would have wanted to decide to change the way that they thought you wanted them to change. They still changed themselves. You never changed them. They changed themselves.
Sometimes it seems like when I change, everybody else changes. Is that just me?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the good news.
Yeah.
Okay, for instance, if you got your TV at home, right? You look at channel 3, channel 4, and then you can look at channel 7. It's the same TV. You're the one that changed the channel. That's the way it is with people. It's the same person. You just changed the channel. You used to look at Uncle Joe on channel 7. Called Fear Channel. Now you look at Uncle Joe on Channel 10. On Channel 10, Uncle Joe, cool, yeah. Of course, it's trying to take all of us to Channel 10. We're tripping because we want Channel 4 to be Channel 10. And it's saying, no, this is the fear world. Here you're going to have fear because it's based on fear. Sorry, you know. Do you want? But love is on Channel 10. And when you go to Channel 10, you're going to be seeing love on the same TV you used to see fear on. The same TV. You used to look like you're in the same world, but all of a sudden, everybody's cool. And everybody's treating you cool. And everything's smooth. And everybody's speaking and opening doors and striking up conversations. And, you know, that's 99% of what I experience in my life. I don't get the finger. I don't have people scowl at me. I don't, you know, I go to the movie, they give me a free popcorn when I pay for my ticket. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I don't have egos like anybody else in this room. All I'm saying is the result of studying the course for all these years is that I simply don't experience the stuff I hear 99% of the people around me talking about, but I used to all the time when I wanted to defend my old way of looking at things like I'm watching them do. But I also know they will stop one day because the Course teaches there's always a limit on pain and that you will reach your limit. And when you reach your limit, you'll go, there must be a better way, and then you'll do it. But it won't happen until you reach your limit. You see? So don't worry about it. You will never hurt forever. You will never worry forever. You'll never be in pain forever. You'll never be lonely forever. It's impossible. Because pain is not God's will. So you have to sustain it by yourself, by making the wrong perceptions and choices, and it gets tiresome. And so you're going to get so tired of making mistakes, you're going to stop. You won't even have the energy to keep your illusion going. You'll be so tired of it. And you'll do what? You'll go, I give up. Now your whole life starts to take off. As soon as you go, y'all know it, you've done it a million times. You've done everything you could do in a situation, and then nothing was happening, and sooner or later you went, I don't care, I just give up. Boop, 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 boop. All of a sudden the miracle starts popping up. The phone call happens. The situation changes. Soon as you resign. Soon as you resign. And I need help in resigning. I need some people to help me resign in some other areas. Because the areas I'm still having challenges in, and I have those areas, they're the areas that I'm still in charge. The areas that I've still made up what I think is supposed to happen and who should change and what should change for me to be happy. I know that's what I'm doing. That's the place where I am not seeing it differently. Thank God I'm not alone. Thank God I'm not alone. Thank God I have guidance. Thank God I'm not by myself. Thank God I'm not a person that's in the world who thinks he's on his own trying to figure this all out by himself according to his own past experiences and own personal wit. Ooh, I'm so glad I'm not that Earl anymore. Whew! That Joker suffered, man. The one who knew it all, who thought everything had to conform to the way he sees things, else everything else is wrong, and he's on his own, and God is an abstract concept. That Earl, whew, God, I'm so glad he's gone. It's so alone. It's so scary to live like that.
I just had the realization that, well, why would we want to listen to a God that's going to condemn us and call us sinful and be wrathful and angry? Why would I want to listen to that God? No wonder I never wanted to listen to God. Now I want to listen to
people
God.
People throw out the baby with the bathwater all the time.
It's synthetic.
Thank you. Thank you.
And it's a
Thank
long
you.
Process.
Thank you.
The course has helped me, like, really... Get eliminate that.
I wonder why people throw away the baby with the bath water. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
You know, I've been again. It's one thing about teaching is you learn a lot, and I meet so many new thought people, so many new age people, so many people who believe that they'll say they believe their thought is creative, or they'll say they believe that they can visualize and create things, but they've thrown God away. They'll either say I'm a recovering Baptist, recovering Catholic. I got a bunch of negative, and so what they did is they threw God away. And they didn't realize that what they were really rebelling against was the learning that they had about God. God is real. Now, what you learn about God, the Course says, what we learn about God is a bunch of crap. He said, that's why the prayer is unanswered, because you're not praying to a God that exists. Duh.
Well,
it always makes sense.
It's sort of a matter of trust. It's like, well, why am I going to trust this God? He's going to call me sinful. And
would you be called intelligent in the world if you fell in love or you trusted a man that says, you're sinful, you're guilty, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to hurt you, I'm going to control you,
right.
You better do what I tell you. You would think that was crazy for you to trust a man like that. But all of a sudden, you're supposed to trust a God like that. You're supposed to, like, totally love a God that would kill every person you love in a car accident. Somehow, you're supposed to go, whoo, I love that God. You're supposed to love a God that if you have sex before you get married, you're going to spend an eternity in hell. But you're supposed to go, ooh, I love that God. You know what I'm saying? It's like, to me, when I was a kid, I would, like, go, are you all out of y'all freaking mind? And then they would go, I'm not supposed to question you. You know what I'm saying? They would, like, shut me up. And I was like, going, what are you talking about? This is nuts. And then the scary part for me was to realize how many people didn't believe it was nuts. And they were calling me nuts.
I know.
That was the part that was tripping. It's still the part that trips me out. A course class that have 20 people on a lodge night. A church to tell people that they're guilty as hell will have 20,000 members who tied.
But that's all on fear.
That's all about fear. And fear is so easily witnessed to in this world that people think it's sane to feel that way. Because the religion is a reflection of the belief system. And so everybody goes along with it. But like you said, if you hear God wants you to be happy all the time, you said that sounds like that's fairy tale. But if you hear God's going to punish you if you don't do such and such a thing, that sounds reasonable. You see what I mean? It's like the God of the ego makes total sense in an ego world. The God of love doesn't make any sense here.
I think they don't really think about what they're being told. You know, they just accept it, and that's the way it is, and they never look.
Well, there are people, and there are sheeples. Some people are sheeple, and some people are people. Sheeple just do what they're told. They just go in the direction that they're being herded. whatever they're being told. You know, they're told, I'll tell you what to believe, I'll tell you what to wear, I'll tell you how to act, I'll tell you what's the in house, the in car, the in clothes, the in hairstyle. I'll tell you exactly what to spend your money on, I'll tell you what to believe in, I'll tell you what to do, and you just do it. And sheeple do. People always want to get in touch with, what do I want? Regardless of what everybody else around me, what feels natural for me? What would I like to wear because I like to wear it? Or whatever. You start thinking in terms of your own personal choices rather than what society tells you you're supposed to be doing. It takes courage to be happy. It takes courage to have happiness. It really does. To be happy, you have to go against everything you were taught that makes you unhappy. It takes courage. It takes guts. But we're not by ourselves. That's what the book is saying. Before you start thinking this is a whole lot of responsibility, let me tell you that I'm going to send you one who gives you the way by which your perception is made true and beautiful. I'm going to give you some help. I'm going to send you a guide. You just have to learn how to listen to the guide. Then my mind goes, well, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to send you, Earl, this book called A Course in Miracles. It's going to tell you how to tell the, this is going to teach you how to tell the difference between when you're listening to your ego, which takes you into fear, and when you're listening to your real self that will take you into love, because you don't know how to tell the difference. And the only purpose of this book is to tell you, is to teach you how to tell when you're getting ready to fool yourself again. So, okay, that's the whole purpose of the book. And it's got some lessons and some stuff I want you to read. And it's going to be a lot different from what you've been taught. And you're going to have some resistance. And that's okay. And you're not going to always understand it. And that's okay. Just keep on going. And after a while, you'll start being able to tell the difference between when you're getting ready to hurt yourself or fool yourself or deceive yourself and when you're getting ready to make the choices that's going to bring you peace. And it does take a great willingness to learn. And it does take a willingness to question your values. It's not hard. It's real different. That's what the book says. You know, you can't, in other words, you cannot go on a journey that's away from your ego, right? With your ego as your guide. And that's what he says. You know, if people come to the class, I did it, we all do it. And we want our ego to learn the course. And then we want our ego to guide us through the course. And it's like, your ego is not going to guide you through the course. People say, what do you mean by that? Your old way of looking at things, your personality, the way that you interpret that you came in the room with is not going to take you away from the interpretation you came into the room with. The way you see things now is not going to take you away from the way you see things now. You need another way of looking at it, and it's going to be opposite to what your ego believes. So just expect that. Your ego is going to go, what? That's crazy. That don't make sense. I don't see how that could work. That doesn't work. I'll get hurt. Well, you're leading me up. So he said, your ego is going, what? Mm-hmm. That's to be expected. So let your ego go, what? I don't understand. I got to figure it out. Let your ego run this whole game, right? But after your ego gets through running this game, all its doubts, when you're dealing with a situation at work and it's about to drive you crazy, you're going to say to yourself, if I will forgive, I will see this differently. And then you'll say, you know, I need to see this differently, and I'm asking for a way to see this differently. That's where you'll start going. I'm mad. Here's the lesson again. I'm mad at you as I can possibly be. So I really need to forgive. I really need to see you differently. Even as I cry. Even as I scream. Even if I throw a skillet across the room. I need to see your ass differently! Then you move into a forgiveness of that person. That's much better than throwing a skillet at me and wishing you had a tank. You know what I'm saying? Every little bit counts. Give yourself credit for every little bit that you can do. If you're just a little tiny level, go. Because your ego is going to try to make you feel like you never do enough. You never do enough. It's going to take you forever. You'll never be able to do this. You know that's ridiculous. Earl, you know you shouldn't pay no attention to what this book just said because you know it's easier to change all your relatives and friends and your coworkers than for you to change your own mind. What is this book talking about? Don't believe it. You know you're having to steal West on your children changing. And you know that. They need to change. They don't have nothing to do with you. Because your ego is going to always come back. So forget all this stuff you heard in that class. You need, this is a dog-eat-dog world. You know what happens out here in the world of nice people. Nice people get messed over. Don't you pay no attention to what that book is saying. It's trying to leave you defenseless. Those voices are going to come up. And the conscious being knows it, so they don't get fooled by it. They know the doubts are going to come up. They're not walking around not expecting to feel doubts. A conscious being knows the doubts are going to come up and the fears are going to come up. But just don't let them stop them. Yeah, I'm doubting this, but you know what? I'm still going to move toward the idea that my thought is creative and that my consciousness creates and that I'm not the victim of the world I see. You know, I doubt this, but I'm still moving in a direction that God wills me perfect happiness and I deserve to be happy. See what I'm saying? I don't believe it, but I'm still going to keep moving in that direction. Then you're doing it. Then you're going to get it. Then you're going to get the result. Okay? Okay, let's take a breath just for a second. And the theme for today is, I will forgive, and I'll see this differently. So it would be something like, forgive, and I will see this differently. Instead of saying forgive, you could just say, I want to see this differently. I want to see this differently. I want to see this differently. There's a person in your life right now, you know exactly who that is. You know they probably came to your mind already. Somebody you don't like or you avoid when you see them. Somebody that you don't feel comfortable picking up the phone and talking to. They probably already know who I'm talking about. And what you want to say is, I want to see you differently. I'm willing to see you differently. I am willing to see you differently. I am willing to see you differently, and therefore I am willing to forgive you. I am willing to see you differently, and therefore I am willing to forgive you, because to forgive you is to see you differently. To forgive you is to see you differently, and I am willing to see you differently. To forgive you is to see you differently, and I am willing to see you differently. Now take yourself, take you, and tell yourself to forgive you. Look at yourself and say, to forgive you is to see you differently. And I am willing to see you differently. I am willing to see myself differently. I'm willing to forgive myself. I'm willing to see myself differently. I am willing to forgive myself. I am willing to see myself differently. I'm willing to forgive myself. I am willing to forgive myself means I am willing to see me differently. I am willing to see myself differently. I am willing to see myself differently. I am willing to see myself differently. In any area where I don't see myself with love and peace, I am willing to see myself differently. I am willing to forgive myself. I forgive myself. I see myself differently. So be it. Sobering, isn't it?
When you break it down so simply, it's so obvious how insane it is to have been that way.
Boy, that feels good to me.
It's so simple that it's obvious to see what's insane and what's not.
And remember I said that was the purpose of it? Was for you to be able to tell. It's like if I get in a relationship now and the relationship doesn't work out, I cannot blame the other person at all. At all. There are so many ways now through the Course in Miracles that I've learned how to tell when I'm making the right choice in a relationship that I can't even pretend in my wildest dreams that I don't know when I'm making a mistake with somebody I'm going out with. And to get to the point you just go, okay, I just want to do something real dumb right now. You know, I just want to do this anyway. Even though I know it's not best for me, I just have to admit I just want to do it. And to get to that point where you can't even pretend anymore that you don't know that that's not best for you. But you still might want to do it. And so you just have to go, I know this isn't what I should be doing, but I really want to do it, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to accept responsibility for the consequences. You get that honest with yourself, or you just choose not to do it. But either way it goes, you won't be able to think like you're a victim of anybody anymore. It's amazing. It's amazing. So thank you for sharing in the love offering. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate it, because I do the course full time in the world. That's how I earn a living. That's how I fulfill my function on the planet. And it's through your generosity that I'm able to do this and continue to do it for people regardless of their personal financial situation also. So this place, everything we have, it comes from your generosity. And I want you to know why I appreciate that. And Unity Temple appreciates it too. Really. I tried to give XL a hug last month. It just didn't work. Divine love through us blesses and multiplies all that we have, all that we give, and all that we receive. Thank you. Pass that around, please, ma'am. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock is the next Course in Miracles class, and Thursday night I like to focus on my favorite sections in the book that are real powerful and startling. And then Sunday at 1 o'clock is our next class. All the classes, we're getting down. Everybody's really want to get really down to the nitty-gritty. And that's very powerful. It's very wonderful. This holy instant will we give to you. Be you in charge. For we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. Decide for us, Holy Spirit. Decide for us, love. Decide for us, Creator. Decide for us, Higher Self. I want that which is greater than my ego to decide for me. I ask that the part of us that truly loves us take over and start making the choices and decisions in our lives. I ask that the part of us that wants to keep us in a state of innocence and sinlessness and safety, that part of our mind now take over in our lives. As we go out into this dream, into this world, that we're going to have the same lesson coming to us a lot of different ways. And now we know what the one lesson is. Forgive. And you will see this differently. To forgive is to be willing to see it differently. And then allow the Holy Spirit to give you the new way of looking at it. So there. And I'll see you all the next time.